I hope you heard that. She said, the children are not going to be as excited as you are. Did you hear that? So you're excited, right? All right, that's good. The 747 Dreamlifter is a specially modified version of the 747 passenger plane. It's been modified to carry cargo. As a matter of fact, it is the biggest cargo plane in the world. But 3 years ago, in November of 2013, a pilot landed one of these, a Dreamlifter, at the city-owned Jabara Airport just outside of Wichita, Kansas. The only problem was he was supposed to be landing at McConnell Air Force Base, 9 miles away. But he ended up landing at the Jabara Airfield. And a spokesman for the Jabara Airfield, actually a spokesman for the McConnell Air Force Base, said this: the tower was in contact with the pilot, but the guy had no clue where he was landing. When the plane landed at the Jabara Airfield, the pilot got on the radio and talked to McConnell Air Force Base, and this is what he said. Apparently, we have landed at Beach Factory Airport. That was yet a third airport in the Wichita, Kansas area. So not only did the pilot land at the wrong airport, he was confused as to which wrong airport he had actually landed at. Airline pilots need to know where they're going. They need to have a good sense of direction, but the same is true for us as a church. We need to know where we are going, because unlike this pilot, who had actually three airports to choose from when he landed in Wichita, Kansas, we in the church, we have lots of destinations where we can go. We have lots of directions we can take in our ministry. For example, we can be a church that's all about fellowship. We can be the church where people love to get together and have a good time, and we can schedule lots of dinners and parties and special social occasions so that we can all have fun. We can be a church that's all about fellowship. Or we can be a church that is all about evangelism. We can be a church where everyone is expected during the week to share their faith with at least 5 people. And if you don't do that, if you don't share your faith with 5 people each week, then we can make you feel very guilty about that. We can be a church that's solely focused on evangelism. Or we can be a church that's all about Bible study. We can be a church that does nothing but teach and preach the Bible and schedules Bible study so everybody can be involved in a Bible study every week. We can be the Bible study church. Or we can be a church that does many other things. We can be a church that focuses on service ministry. We can be a church that expects all our people to be involved in some kind of ministry to help those people who are hurting, those people who are in need. There are so many different directions that we can aim at as a church. So what direction do we take? Well, fortunately for us, we find the answer to that question in God's Word. We find that answer in the text we're looking at today, Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 19. But before we go any further, would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we come into your presence today realizing that as a church, we have to set a direction for our ministry. We have to know where we're going. We can't just mess around with a little of this and a little of that and a little of the other. We can't just do things because other churches are doing them. We have to have a direction. We have to have a sense of your call. We have to know that we're heading in the right direction, and that's what we're talking about today. The direction we have gone in this past year and the direction where we are headed in this coming year, and we believe that in your word you give us the specific direction that we need. We thank you for your word, and we pray that you'd help us to hear it today. Help us to hear it in a way that would bring glory and honor to you. Help us to find the direction you have for us as a church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our model for the direction we should take is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the founder of the church and the Lord of the church. We believe that we need to follow his direction. We need to do ministry the way he did ministry. We need to have the focus that he had. We need to follow his leading because he is the Lord. He's called us to follow after him. And so we want the direction for the ministry of First Alliance Church to be the direction that he took when he walked this earth. Well, what direction did Jesus take? In what direction did he go? Let's look at our text. And verse 12 says this, one of those days, notice this was not a unique or special day. This was just an average day in the ministry of Jesus. One of those days, and Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. The first direction in which Jesus looked was up to God. And that must be the first direction in which we look with our ministry. Now, everybody knows Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. But let me ask you, what did Jesus spend time praying about? What did he spend time praying for? Let me ask you this. Do you think he spent time praying about the job and the stress and strain of his work? Do you think he spent time praying about his mortgage payment? Do you think he spent time praying about his credit card debt? Do you think he spent time praying about how in the world he would ever be able to get all of his kids through college? Do you think he spent time praying about the shortness of breath that he felt when he jogged alongside the Sea of Galilee? Are you kidding? Shortness of breath? Jesus raised the dead. You didn't have to worry about that. The fact is, many of the things that are needs for us were never needs for Jesus. But there is one need that we share in common with him, and that is the need to be connected to God the Father. We have that need to be connected, and he had that need to be connected. And from all that Jesus says in the Gospel of John about his relationship with God, I believe that for Jesus, prayer was relational breathing. It was relational breathing. Jesus, Luke says, prayed all night. And I think the way he prayed is this. I think he poured out who he was to God. He breathed out who he was to God, and God the Father breathed into him who he was to Jesus. It was relational breathing. It was knowing each other better, sharing everything that was going on, breathing out who Jesus was, breathing in who God the Father was. And Jesus prayed like this because the very next day, he was going to make a pivotal decision. He had to decide the 12 who would follow him as his disciples, the 12 who would follow him most closely as disciples. And Jesus wanted to make sure that he had the mind of God. He wanted to make sure that he knew exactly the direction that God was taking him. And so what did Jesus do first? Before he made decisions about the direction of his ministry, first he looked up to God. He turned to God the Father, and he sought him. I want to show you something. This is the legendary bike that put me in the hospital for 2 weeks and kept me off my feet for 3 months. And the other day, I was thinking, you know, winter has passed and spring has come and it's so beautiful outside. I was thinking that I would get out my bike and ride. But I noticed immediately that my bike tires were low on air. Now, those of you who know something about bikes, those of you who ride a bike, you know that when a bicycle is low on air, when the tires are low, it's hard to pedal. It takes more energy. It takes more effort to pedal your bicycle when the tires are low on air. But when the tires are properly inflated, it's much easier, and it's much more enjoyable. It's much more fun when you've got all the air in your tires that you need. And I was thinking, you know, it was obvious to me that the tires were low on air, but I couldn't ever recall taking air out of my tires. So where did all the air go? What happened to that air? Well, there really is no particular reason why tires lose air. They just do. They just get flat over time. Air leaks out of the wheels, out of the tires. And the same is true for us as believers in Jesus. We lose spiritual air. Now, we come to the service on Sunday morning, and we sing the wonderful songs about Jesus, and they really pump us up. And we think about who Jesus is, about his love, his grace, his mercy, and about how he has all power, and about how we don't need to worry about anything. And we get so pumped up, we think, you know what, this week I'm not going to worry. This week I'm not going to be paranoid. This week I'm not going to be all focused on all the things that can go wrong, because I know Jesus is real, and I've sung these songs that remind me what a powerful Savior he is and how he's there in every situation to meet our every need. So I'm not going to worry this week. I feel so good. We leave this place pumped up. And then Tuesday afternoon comes, and our boss yells at us for no reason, and psst, we begin to leak air. And then Wednesday morning comes, and we're having a casual conversation with our spouse. You know, everything is great, and suddenly, as spouses have a tendency to do, our spouse says something that we think is unfair and incorrect. And so we feel that it's our duty as Christians to correct the record. And so we erupt into an explosion of righteous indignation. In other words, we get really angry and we leak more spiritual air. Then Friday morning comes, and we have our annual physical checkup at the doctor, and we go to the doctor, and we're feeling so good about this checkup because we've been exercising. We've been riding our bike. And we've been eating so healthy. You know, instead of eating two desserts after every meal, we've cut it down to 1.5 desserts after every meal. And we're expecting the doctor to say wonderful, positive things about us. We're expecting him to congratulate us. But he looks at us, he shakes his head and says, I don't know, I'm concerned. Your pulse is a little erratic. I think we need to do some tests. And more air escapes. You know, the truth of the matter is, in this world, when it comes to our spiritual life, living in this world makes us leak. There it goes. You just heard the leaking. Living in this world makes us leak. And when we leak, we need to be reinflated. And there's only one way to be reinflated, and that is to look up to God. We look up to God when we read and meditate on his word. We study his word. We look up to God when we spend time in prayer, talking with him about who he is and about who we are and about what we need for him to do to transform our life. And we look up to God when we gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ in worship. That's what we've been doing for this past year. We've been looking up to God in worship, and that's what we need to continue to do, because we can't get anywhere on flat tires. We can't accomplish anything for the sake of the kingdom of God if our spiritual tires are so flat, we can't turn them. We've got to stay inflated. We've got to stay pumped up. And that's why we need to look up to God. And one of the major ways we look up to God is through worship. Jennifer Bliss is our worship pastor, and she's going to come now and give us our worship report. All right.
It's true. We come every Sunday morning to worship, and it is such a delight for me to come and worship with you. I love that connection that we have as we minister to the Lord together, and I know that each one of us gets that opportunity to get filled up. And I just want to take a moment and thank my team, John on drums and Drew on bass, Brianna on vocals, and Jacob, wherever he's gone to, on violin, and then, of course, my back people who run the sound, Justin and Ashleen and Kayla. It's just a great opportunity to work together, and I just wanted to thank them. So just if you want to, thank you. Yeah. Give them applause. And I just wanted to let you know of the opportunities that we do have throughout the week, especially after that Tuesday afternoon when your boss yells at you. My boss yells at me all the time. No, that's not true. Is that we have every Wednesday at 11 o'clock. It's something new that we're trying is we are doing a video prayer time together. We had for a while had on Thursday afternoon everyone who could come and pray. And this is really about the direction that we want to head together as First Alliance Church. But we're trying it on video. It's through a software called Zoom. And the link is always in the email blast. And we would love for you, if you're free at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning, to sign in to see if you can make it work. If you can't, call me. I can talk you through the process. But this is a chance that we get to really pray and connect with God to figure out and to seek Him for what He wants to do among us and in our midst, the direction He wants us to head. So take a look at that when it comes through in the email blast. We'd love to have you join us for that prayer time. The other thing that we're doing also on Wednesday, every other evening, we are doing a praise and prayer time with our Chinese fellowship with GCCBF. And we have decided that we do need to eat together because it just works better. So we'll be doing that at 6:30. We'll eat together. And then it's just a wonderful time. Children are there. We have instruments that you can bang if you need to. But it's just really a wonderful opportunity to really connect. How many of you have been at one of those evenings? Yeah, good portion of us. So I would encourage you to come because it's a lot less formal than it is on Sunday morning. A lot more free. You get a chance to interact in ways that we don't normally do on Sunday morning. So those are some of the opportunities that we have, but I also want to encourage you, if ever you find yourself in a really dry place when it comes to really connecting with God, just don't feel like you hear from Him, feel like He's there, I want to encourage you every Sunday after the service, we have our elders who are here to pray with you. And they're good men, and oftentimes their wives are with them, and they can pray for you that you might connect with God in a whole new way, in a deeper way. So I would encourage you to take advantage of that. And always, I know Pastor Kevin, myself, Margaret are very free. We would love, if you are in that place, to call us, and we would love to pray with you to help you find that reconnection so that you can get pumped up, so you can get full again. And finally, the last way that we have for you to connect with God is to give on a Sunday morning, to give financially. And so that's my smooth transition into offering, which we're going to do right now. So ushers, if you would come. But again, I just wanted to encourage you to take advantage of this. And I know every Sunday I pray. When I pray for offering, I remind us that by giving back, what we're saying to God is that we trust you more than the finances we hold in our hand. And it's that connection. And oftentimes I find that stepping out in faith, when we do that, God really meets us in a whole new place. And one last thing I wanted to talk about is when I was doing my report, I was looking for that verse that talks about how good it is when brothers and sisters, when God's family dwells together in unity. And it's Psalm 133, verse 1. But one of the things that I saw that in Psalm, in the translation that the New Living does, it talks about that brothers and sisters live together in harmony. And I loved that because what happens is when we're all together, when we're worshiping together, when our lives, like you're here, I'm here, but when we start focusing on God, what happens is we come even closer together. And what harmony is it's many different voices, many different sounds, many different notes coming together to make a beautiful sound. And that's what we want to happen when we come together. Anytime we come together to worship, is that harmony is what we accomplish. So we're going to have offering now, and we're going to sing together. So let me pray for the offering, and then we can, so you can be prepared to give your gifts, give back to the Lord, and then we will sing, and then we'll turn it back to Pastor Kevin. Lord, we just want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to love you, to worship you with the giving of our tithes and our offerings. Lord, it is good to step out and to remind ourselves, to remind each other that we do trust you, that we step out in faith, and that you, God, when you come and you are with us, that is what fills us up. To remind ourselves that money is not the answer, to remind ourselves that what we have can never satisfy as much as you can. So it's your presence, God, that we long for. It's your presence that we desire. It's being with you, being in your family, with each other, to dwell together in harmony. To dwell together in the harmony that worships you, that loves you, that adores you. Thank you, God, for that incredible opportunity we have right now to give back, to sing together, to continue to have our hearts filled up with that connection that comes from you. We bless you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So, ushers, if you would come.
Jesus looked up, and we must look up. But there's another direction in which Jesus looked, and we find it in our text. Verses 13 through 16, Luke says, when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. The second direction in which Jesus looked was in to those who had chosen to follow him. Now, notice the order of mission that's laid out here in this text for us. First, we look up to God. We get his orders. We get his direction for our ministry, and then we look in at our brothers and sisters in Christ who can enable us to carry out the orders that God has given to us. And that is why before we can be a community-focused church, we have to be a church that looks in. We have to be a church that's concerned about our brothers and sisters in Christ growing in maturity so that we can be the kind of people who can do the work of the kingdom of God. Let me ask you a question. Which is the most important work in the church? Which is the most important job? Reaching out to those who have never had a chance to hear the gospel, or to those who do not yet know Jesus, are reaching in and helping our brothers and sisters in Christ mature in their faith. Which is the most important? Well, it's not an either-or proposition. It's a both-and proposition. As we reach out, we must also be reaching in for a very important reason, because if we're not doing the work of reaching in, if we're not helping each other to grow and mature in their faith, we're not going to have people who are motivated to reach out. We're not going to have people who feel enabled to reach out. We're not going to have people who feel prepared. They're not going to be ready for that moment of reaching out. So reaching in always goes along with reaching out. And that's why our first step in reaching the people of this community is to make sure that we are growing as believers in Jesus. To make sure that we are maturing in our faith, becoming all that God intends for us to be. And that's why we gather in Sunday school on Sunday morning, to hear God's word teach us what it means to be a growing and mature believer in Jesus. And that's why in the morning worship service, we hear God's word preached so that through God's word, we will come to understand what it means to be a growing and mature believer in Jesus. That's why we gather in missional community meetings so that we can encourage each other, so that we can share with each other. And that's why when someone makes the wonderful decision to become a believer in Jesus, we see to it that they have the opportunity to grow in their faith by becoming a part of a discipleship class. They learn what it means to be a believer. They learn all the basics about the Christian faith. Now, over this past year, we have been greatly blessed. I was mentioning to someone today that there are churches all over the United States who can look back in the past year and not think of one person who came to faith in Christ during that year. God has blessed us tremendously in this past year because we've had a number of people who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And we give Him the glory and the honor and praise for that because it's the Spirit of God that calls out to people and brings them into His kingdom. But we also have some folks in this congregation who have been very faithful to sit down with these new believers and show them the basics of what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who are involved in doing that work, you know who you are. And I commend you because you are doing work that is absolutely essential to the ministry of Christ's church on this earth. But there's something else, too, that I believe that is involved in discipleship, and we're not doing it, I don't believe, as well as we could do it, and that is developing leaders. Developing leaders is a big part of the church's ministry. And Luke lets us know here that Jesus was developing leaders because he called a large group of his followers. There were many people there that day who were believers in Jesus. And it's out of this larger group that Jesus chose 12. That tells us that these 12 were to have a position of leadership in the church. And then out of the 12, Jesus chose Peter, James, and John for an even higher level of leadership. So Jesus believes in leaders in the church. Leaders are something that he promoted. He wants there to be leaders in the church. And so there's something very important we who are leaders need to keep in mind. And it's this. Our purpose as leaders is to create other leaders. Our purpose as leaders is to develop more leaders. So in the next year, we're going to make a concerted effort to grow and develop leaders at First Alliance Church. And this is how we're going to do it. If you have a position of ministry in this church, any position of ministry, if you have a position of leadership in this church, any position of leadership, if you're a deacon, a deaconess, an elder, a governance authority member, a Sunday school teacher, a worship team member, an usher, someone who is involved in children's ministry or youth ministry, someone who does any of the other ministries that we're going to talk about in the course of this day, if you have any kind of position of ministry or leadership, I'm going to ask that this year that you have your eyes open and that you actively look for people who, in the future, given the right help and training, could actually do the work that you are doing now. Now, I'm not only talking about the fact that there's coming a day, believe it or not, when you're going to have to be replaced because you're not going to last forever, and neither am I. But not only that, I'm talking about finding people who can work with you now to ease the burden, to make the ministry more effective. So I'm going to ask that you be on the lookout for these people. I want to tell you something. When I was in high school, in my church, the church that I attended, the Alliance Church, we had a youth leader. He was not a professional minister. In fact, he was an insurance salesman. But he was our youth leader. And he thought that the young people of the church ought to have an opportunity to step into the shoes of ministry, to step into the shoes of leadership, and to just see what it was like to get experience. So he went to the pastor and he said, could we have a Sunday morning where the youth, the young people, take over the entire morning worship service? And the pastor said yes. And so I remember this Sunday, we had a couple of our teens who were the ushers. They passed out the bulletins and helped people find a seat, and they collected the offering. We had one of our teenagers who led the text from the Bible that Sunday. We had one of our teens who became the worship leader. We had several of our teens who played music, played the piano, and who actually did special music and sang. And we had two people who were given the opportunity to preach God's Word. One was a college freshman, and one was a 15-year-old high school student. I was the 15-year-old high school student. And I remember that so clearly. I remember working on that message. I remember preparing that message. I don't remember preparing the message 2 weeks ago, but I remember preparing that message when I was 15 years old. And after the service, there were several of the saints in our congregation who came up to me and they said, "Wow, Kevin, we think God may be calling you to be a preacher. So we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that God would lead you and guide you and direct you." That was one of the pivotal moments of my life. It was one of the formative moments of my life because somebody gave me a chance to step into the shoes of ministry, to step into the shoes of leadership. So whatever you do, whatever your job may be, I'm going to ask that you have your eyes open and that you look for people who have the potential to do the work of ministry, to do the work of leadership in this church. And my part is going to be periodically to ask you if you have found anyone. And if you have found someone, then my job is going to be finding a way to plug them in, finding a way to give them a chance to exercise their ministry gifts, finding a way to give them the opportunity to see what it's like to step into the shoes of leadership, to step into the shoes of ministry. 2017 is going to be the year of mining for leaders. God gifts the church. He has given gifts to this church, but sometimes God gifts the church the way He puts diamonds in a diamond mine. He buries them deeply because it's up to us to dig them out. That's our job, and that's what we're going to be doing this year. We're going to be digging out leaders. And already we have some young people who are doing the work of leadership and ministry. We have other young people in this church who are gifted, they're talented, they have youth, they have freshness, and we want to give them the opportunity to step into the shoes of ministry and the shoes of leadership as well. And that not only goes for young people, it goes for middle-aged folks. It goes for seniors. It goes for people of all ages. We want to enable people to try their hand at leadership and at ministry. We can't reach out unless we're also reaching in. And a big part of reaching in is developing leaders. But that's just one part of discipleship. That's just one part of reaching in. We have ministries in this church that are devoted to discipleship. They're devoted to reaching in. They're devoted to being concerned about the members of this congregation. We're going to hear from two of those ministries now. First, we're going to hear from Abel Irvin, who is the head of our elders, and then we're going to hear from Margaret Goins about our children and youth ministry.
Well, as Pastor Kevin said, my name is Abel, and I am the head of our elders here at First Alliance Church for this year. Of our elders, we have a few. Well, actually, Pastor Kevin is one. David Grove is another, and Mike Pointer, who is not here. He's actually out of the country. He's a third. Josh Bartlett, who left at the beginning of October, was also an elder, and he's recently gone. Now, you may ask for yourself, what is it that the elders do? Well, as elders, we are called to care for the body of Christ. That's why every one of you here who is a member or who attends regularly, you have an elder who is assigned to pray for you, to try and keep in touch with you on a regular basis, find out what's going on in your life, and to lift you up in prayer on a daily basis. We, as elders, we have each of these elder care groups, and so when a new elder comes on board or one leaves, we have to reassign, shuffle some, but we consider that a primary importance to be praying for those in the congregation. We also pray for the ministry and the direction of First Alliance Church as a whole. We meet once a month with Pastor Kevin, where we hear about the direction. Every elder is also on the governing board or governance authority of the church, which decides much of the business of the church. So we are involved with the direction, the ministry of the church. We also work with the staff to come up with goals for the upcoming year. So recently, the staff has been working with us to solidify any goals they might have for ministry in the church in 2017. And also, as you heard at the beginning of the service, as David came and prayed, he's actually our elder on duty for today. At the end of every service, one of the elders is always available to pray with you. If there's a request, if there's a need in your life that you haven't had the opportunity to voice to anyone else, but you would like prayer for it, we have an elder on duty, usually there with a spouse or with another of the women in the church who's there to pray with you. And as we pray for and with one another, I think we grow closer together as believers. Besides praying for one another, that is, or praying for you, praying with one another, the elders also form the Committee on Membership here in the church. And so this past year, we did accept some new people into membership. We also, as I said, we serve on the governance authority of the church, as the governance authority does much of the business of the church. For 2017, our hope and our prayer is that God would lead us closer to him and to each other. No believer is an island. No believer should feel like they are standing alone, but the elders are here to encourage you and to reach in for you. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians about how the church is like a body, like a physical body. And this is what he says here. He says, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the eye should say, 'Because I am not an ear, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And he says later on, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And as elders, that's what we want to encourage, that sense of being a part of the body of Christ, that it's not just Jennifer up in front, it's not just Margaret with the children and the youth, it's not just Pastor Kevin here in doing the sermon, who are the important people in the body of Christ. It is all of us together. And that's what we as elders, we desire for us to grow closer in discipleship, grow closer with each other as well. Thank you.
That leads very well into how I want to begin my report. And hi, I'm Margaret, and I'm Minister of Youth and Children here at FAC. I'd like to begin by asking all of those, and I hope you all have read the annual report, and there are copies back there, by the way, if anybody wants to have one, even as you're sitting here. And there's a lot of people in red, and or categories of people. So I would like all of you who in 2016 had any part of working with the children and youth, Sunday school, children's church, kids zone, youth group, VBS, driving kids home after the service, even if you helped at the yard sale because that was raising money for the kids to go to Power Time Camp, please stand right now so we can recognize you and thank you. Even my youth helpers, yes, if you help and if you're a youth, yes. I'd like to give you all a round of applause. Thank you so, so much. And I know that those of you that were seated, you know, also support the ministry in so many ways, including just praying for the children and youth of our church. I would encourage you to read the annual report if you have not already. In that report, I talked about the different activities that the children and youth have been involved in this past year, but I won't reiterate those now. I can't think back on this year without going to a personal place, and I'm doing this for several reasons. One, we're coming to the end of a year that's been a really difficult journey for me and for my family. And the first thing I want to take this opportunity of being in front of you all is to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for how you've been there for us. Most of you know that we've been dealing with our son in his addiction and his treatment and so forth. And as I've been out in the recovery, what we call the recovery community, and I have heard stories of people in their churches sharing, you know, the struggle that they're going through with their addicted child. And many of them were not received well. They were judged. They did not feel the acceptance and the love of their church family. And every time I hear those stories, it's like, I'm so sad, and it's like, I cannot relate to that at all. I've had the exact opposite experience. Our family has felt nothing but your love, your concern, your care, your support, and I could never have enough words to thank you for that. I knew I was going to get emotional. That's why I brought my Kleenex. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I also wanted to just give you a little update in that Scott is going to be coming back to Atlanta in a couple of weeks. And so we're continuing our journey. This is another big step. And we just covet your prayers as we continue this journey. God has been so good. And Scott is doing really well right now. But it's a journey. And the other reason I think it's very appropriate for me to speak on this personal level is that whenever we go through things that deeply, deeply affect us as human beings in our personal lives, it does impact everything else about our life. And my ministry here has been deeply impacted by what I've been going through personally. And as we know, one of the awesome things about God is that he takes these deep, deep struggles, these dark things, and he uses them to bring transformation, not only in our own personal lives, but in those that we touch. And so I do feel like that my vision for children's ministry and youth ministry has really been deepened through this. And it's hard to put into words, but it's just true, and y'all know what I'm talking about. What we as a family have experienced and learned relates very much to the importance of discipling our young people. There is so much confusion in our world today, and there are so many conflicting messages that our young people are receiving. It's just not enough anymore, as if it ever was, to have our kids come to church and just teach them Bible stories and songs and prayers and expect them to connect that to their daily lives. I think, as I think about this, and I'm no expert on all of these things, but more in the past, there was more connection with what the children were receiving at church, connection to home, connection to school, connection to the community at large. But as we all know, we live in more of a postmodern, post-Christian culture right now. So the things that they receive at church are not only not being reinforced, they're actually being shot down and come against. So this is a huge task for us, especially for those of us that are working with children and youth. Obviously, we must absolutely continue to teach the youth and our children the story of Scripture, good doctrine, and the importance of prayer. Absolutely. But we must also help our young people to feel church is a safe place, to be real, to share their deepest thoughts and feelings, to be shown that it's okay to be vulnerable and admit their weaknesses and to be very authentic about where they are in their spiritual journey. We don't want that Sunday school answer, Jesus, you know, like they, you know, the party line. I mean, we learn that well, and kids pick up on what's the right thing to feel, the right thing to say when they're at church. And that can be a dangerous thing because then they can leave and, you know, again, it might not be in their reality in their weekly life at school and among their peers and so forth. They must come to know that they are full of worth because God created them in His image and that they have value apart from their accomplishments, their popularity, their physical appearance, all of those things. So I've observed this with getting to know the guys in Scott's treatment center and seeing, you know, why do people get into addiction? It starts with, it doesn't just start there. It starts with that lack of purpose, that lack of self-worth, and those that even go through treatment, if they don't find that sense of purpose and that sense of self-worth, then they relapse. And this past week, the reason I'm getting emotional again is this past week, two of Scott's friends relapsed and one ended in death. So this has just brought home so personally me is this need for people to find that place of purpose in their life. And we all know as the church, we have in Jesus Christ, what we have in Him is that incredible gift that we have to share. But you know, and some of these guys, they do know Jesus as their God, but it's still, they have lacked healing in their lives to be able to make that, you know, keep them on the straight and narrow. And that can be true with anything, not just addiction. So here we have an opportunity on the front end to help us prevent some of these outcomes for later. And this is what discipleship must include. Not just information, but real connection. And Scott told us when he got in treatment, he learned the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's connection. We're all hardwired for connection with God, with our own self, and with each other. So if we can facilitate true connection among our young people in the context of church and of the teaching of truth, the teaching of the gospel, I believe we'll find more real discipleship happening, and there will be more sticking power. So if you would look at my report also for some new things that we've been doing, and I want to do more of them in 2017 to foster this kind of connection among our youth, please do. And I would like to end with a prayer that I wrote, so let us pray. Dearest God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you thanks and praise for being a good and all-powerful God. We thank you that you are in control of all things. We thank you for all your great promises, for your great love for us, for your healing and delivering power. Thank you that you have overcome all darkness and the end of this story, the story of history, and each of our personal stories belongs to you. We lift up our young people, those belonging to each of us, and in particular today, the children and youth of this church, First Alliance. We cry out to you for them. Save them. Deliver them from evil. Show them their infinite worth in your eyes. Show them the purpose you have for them. Give them true connection to you, themselves, their families, their friends, and those of us here at FAC. Help each of us in this body of believers remember to pray for them, love them, and accept them exactly where they are and gently guide them into your truth. Please use them to minister to and love each other. We ask that you would use us to help them become true followers of Jesus Christ who can be a light in this dark world. Give special grace and mercy to the parents who are up against so much in trying to raise godly children. May we stand together against all schemes of the enemy who has come to kill, steal, and destroy. We stand in the victory of your cross, resurrection, and ascension, Jesus. And it is in your name that we make this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
In a sense, all of the ministries of this church are inwardly focused ministries because they all have to do with the people of this church. They all rely on the work of the people of this church, and they're all oriented toward helping the people of this church. We've heard from two of the inwardly focused ministries, and I just want to have a brief word of prayer for everything that is done in this church that reaches in for the people of First Alliance Church. So would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, we thank you for these two reports, and we pray, Lord God, that you would work. Pray that you would continue to work in the youth and children's ministry. We pray that you would continue to work among the elders and in every ministry that is thinking about and looking to and considerate of the people who make up this church. And as Abel has said, we are praying for people because we love them and we want to see them grow. We want everybody in this church to grow and to mature as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when people mature, not only are they benefited, the church is benefited, the cause of Christ around the world is benefited, everything is made better when believers grow and mature in Jesus. And so we pray, Lord God, that you would assist all of these inwardly focused ministries, strengthen them, give them direction, bless them, and use them for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.
Jesus looked up, and Jesus looked within, but then Luke tells us something else. In verses 17 through 19, he says, "He went down with them and stood on a level plain. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon." In other words, there were a lot of people there who were not yet followers of Jesus. And Luke says this large crowd of his disciples was there, and people from all over Judea, people who had come. Interesting. Yeah. All right. People who had come from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming out from him and healing them all. The third direction in which Jesus looked was out. Out to those who had not yet chosen to follow him. Luke tells us that Jesus had been on this mountaintop. He had been in prayer with God the Father. It was a holy place. And Jesus had the disciples come up to the mountaintop with him, and it was there that he chose the 12. But then Luke says he went down with his disciples and stood on a level place. It was there that all these people had gathered, many of whom did not yet know Jesus as their Savior. In other words, Jesus did not limit himself to the disciples. He didn't limit himself to the church. He didn't limit himself to believers. He also reached out to the many people who had gathered, many people who were seeking answers for the issues, for the needs, for the problems of their life. Jesus did not wait for the spiritually dead to come to him. He went to them. And that is what we must do. This gentleman, Dr. James Ayton, Jamie Ayton, is an expert on dealing with trauma. He's a psychologist, but he's a Christian psychologist. He's a Christian trauma expert, and he says this: "When we encounter people who are impacted by trauma, it can leave us feeling helpless. It can cause us to freeze up or to say things we wouldn't normally say, often relying on harmful cliches." Dr. Ayton says that when we encounter somebody who's dealing with trauma, someone who's experienced a death, someone who has lost a job, someone who's experiencing terrible sickness, when we deal with people who are suffering through trauma, the best that we can do for them is summed up in two words: offer refuge. Offer refuge. He says this: some examples of how you can serve as a refuge include listening with acceptance, being present in your helping, and giving the gift of connection. I learned the importance of refuge from a Hurricane Katrina research study my team and I conducted just weeks after the storm made landfall. I'll never forget the evacuation experience one of the survivors we interviewed shared. He described trying to escape from his home along the coast by car. As he tried to drive away, however, the winds and the rain grew stronger. He quickly started to lose visibility. He knew he wasn't going to be able to go much farther. About the time panic started to set in, he saw something moving just ahead off the side of the road. A neighbor he had never met before was standing outside in the pouring rain and the howling wind with a particle board sign with words spray painted on it. The words read, "Stop here." Rather than continue alone on his journey, the man turned into his neighbor's driveway and found a safe haven. We live in a neighborhood filled with people who are traumatized. People in this neighborhood are experiencing all sorts of things. There are people who are experiencing job problems, the loss of a job, and maybe a job they can't stand, a job that's filled with stress. Or they're experiencing marital problems. Or they're experiencing difficulty in relationships with their children. Or they're experiencing fear. Or they're experiencing depression. Or they're experiencing addiction. And everyone in this neighborhood, whether they're willing to admit it or not, is dealing with the trauma of the destructive power of sin, because sin separates us from God, who is the only source of real and lasting life. And so we are dealing with people in this neighborhood who are traumatized, and we are called to stand in the midst of all of these traumatic storms of life and hold up a sign that says, "Stop here." Stop here and find out where real refuge lies. Stop here and find out about the one who is the Savior. Stop here and find out about the peace that he can bring in the midst of all the storms and trauma of life. Our ministry is to the people of this neighborhood. People who have big houses, nice cars, beautiful children, and no hope for tomorrow. And that's why we are attempting to fulfill our calling through ministries that are focused in an outward direction. We're reaching out to people who do not yet know the Lord. We're going to hear from four people who are involved in these ministries. Ross Antonakis is going to tell you about our ministry in Belmont Village, the ministry there for seniors. And then Judy Cox is going to tell us about our prison ministry. And then Debbie Miller is going to come and tell us about how we as a church are helping ministries and missions all around the world to reach out. And then finally, when GCCBF comes up to join us for communion, Jennifer Gao is going to tell us about the ministry that is going on there. But first, let me say just a little bit about our ESL classes, because that is one of our outwardly focused ministries. Every week in this church, we have a good number of people who do not yet know Jesus. They come here for ESL classes. Excuse me. We have an intermediate class that is taught by Gail Tomey. It's also taught by Tiny Willis and Connie Vinson and Gloria Webb. And that class meets Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10:30 to 12:30. We have an advanced class that meets from 9:30 to 12:30 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's led by me. And then we have a Sunday morning Bible study ESL class. It's the Discovery Sunday School class led by Paul and Nancy Geishan. And Gail Tomey is a substitute and helps with that. And then also we have a Wednesday evening ESL conversation class that's led by me and that's assisted by David Grove. We are in the sixth year of offering ESL classes, and we always have new people who show up from time to time. We always ask where they came from, and we don't really know where they came from. They come from word of mouth. But we also have many people who are going back home, so we have a lot of turnover in our ESL students. And our desire is that through the influence of our teachers and through inviting them to First Alliance Church activities, that they will have a chance to encounter Jesus. And we have had some of our students who have encountered Jesus over the years, and we're very grateful for that. So please pray for us. Pray for us who are behind the ESL class ministry, all the teachers. And we have a special prayer request for you, too. Right now, we do not have a beginning ESL class. We do not have a beginning ESL teacher. And we would like, when the new semester comes, beginning January 10th, 2017, to also offer a beginning ESL class. So please keep these prayer requests in mind and remember the ESL ministry. And now, Ross, would you come and tell us about what's happening?
Yes, I'm running. She says it goes, you know what I mean? Debbie came to me one time. She said, would you be interested in seniors? And that was when I had gray hair before I dyed it. So I said, sure I am. But I love seniors, and we should love seniors too. Every second Saturday, turn to your neighbor and say, every second Saturday, we serve the seniors as the Bible. I read the Bible. You know what it says about seniors? It says, don't forsake them, serve them. So what we do is I facilitate it. Can you imagine that? We preach, we teach, we give them praise and worship. And you know what they love the most? This is what I found out that I didn't know. After service, guess what they do? They hang around. You know why they want to hang around? They want to be with you. So I invite you every second Saturday, since I was told to make this announcement real, real quick, because I get a special blessing after the service. Every second Saturday, if you've never been to the senior ministry, please prayerfully consider being here every second Saturday, 1 o'clock outside. I drive the bus. I preach. I teach. I'm the doorman, whatever I have to be. But look at page 17, say 17. And I thank Jennifer for making that up. Look, who's the guy in the red? Wow. You know what they like to? One of them came up to me and said, Reverend Ross, can we get one of those selfers with you? That was funny, y'all. Come on, that was funny. So look at 17, get up on it because it's full of information. Information is what we do. But another thing I need to say about spiritual air. Thank you, doctor, for imparting spiritual air into my life recently. Letting God allow you to do that. And I have so many people to thank and love here that have helped me know the Lord better. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Y'all can applaud me.
Judy, if you would come.
I want to thank the Lord for allowing me to be able to go to the prison. It is a blessing, although it's really hard to get up early in the morning and get ready on a Saturday to go. But I've been going about 15 to 17 years, and Gloria and Abraham and Hildria, which is in glory, they went about 21 or 2 years. And now Chris is going, and I think he's been going about 4 or 5 years, somewhere along there. And if anyone here has a burden on your heart to visit the prisoners, talk to Abraham. He will give you all the instructions that you have to have to go. It's such a privilege, and Jennifer wanted me to tell you about an experience, and I was thinking back over the years, and we've had some dealies. One year we were not able to go up to the pod. They had a shutdown, and we couldn't go up, so we sat downstairs all the time, and we thought, well, maybe they'll let us go up before the hour's over. But they didn't. I don't know what happened on that floor or in the pods, but we couldn't go up that day. And then another time when we were there, they sent Gloria and I to the prison pod that had the prisoners that had chains on their feet and on their hands. And, boy, that was a tough time to go into that pod and see these women chained like that. But they needed the word, and we gave the word of God to them. And some, you know, they recognized God's word, and their hearts were touched, you could tell. But then yesterday, this is a new one that just happened yesterday, Gloria and I were so blessed when we left there. Those girls that came blessed us. There was two there that knew the word before we ever got to the scripture and quoted it. They knew it by heart. So they had been brought up in the church. And one girl, Rose was her name, and she asked us to pray for her. She has all kind of physical problems. And she said it was only by the grace of God that she was still alive. And I told her, it's only by the grace of God that I'm still alive. And I thank the Lord. There was a time about 6 or 7 years ago I thought about quitting going. But the Lord put it on my heart to keep going. And there was a period of time when I had to have surgeries. There was about 5 different ones that I was not able to go. But I still prayed for those girls and the men, because they need the Lord. You know, really, we all are in a prison out here in the open world, because there's so much evil going on. We see it. We hear it. And it's hard for us to stand up and be a witness for the Lord, isn't it? Every one of us know that. But we have to trust the Lord and know that by the grace of God, we could be in prison ourselves. We never know when something could knock us down and cause us to be there. So pray for those who are in prison. And don't forget to pray for them and pray for yourself. If the Lord would like for you to come, see Abraham. God bless each one of you. And I wanted to say also, too, I appreciate this church family praying for me during all my difficulties. Except by the grace of God, I would be in a coffin underground with all the cancers, 3 different kinds. It's hard to overcome. But by the grace of God, Isaiah 55:3, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. And my peace is upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. And I'm healed to be a witness for him. Thank you.
Well, let me start off. As Miss Margaret said, she teaches the children, but they were never perfect. So let me start. We're with the missions team, okay? And if you look on your report, if you will notice who serves on that missions team, we have Gloria Webb, Kelly Irvin, we have Carol Ann and Mike Pointer, myself, and Connie Vinson. Now, you know feet of clay, brain of clay. Yeah, I know. Okay. I left Connie's name off. My fault. I apologize for that, and I will tell Connie. Shirley, I want to recognize separately. Shirley is in charge of our international ministry to the international children, international school. These are refugees primarily that are very traumatized. They are very broken. They are very open to the gospel, and especially their staff. So God has really blessed us in, number one, focusing our people, our families' attention on what is overseas with the CMA and also what is locally here. Paradise Mountain is another big ministry. Just to let you know, they will have their groundbreaking November 19th on their third home. We just got word of that. Isn't that great? I also put in the very back a list of the different things our church, our governing board, has made a point to
Whatever earnings we have, 10% of that goes to missions, and 10% of that goes to Messianic Jewish Ministries. So we have itemized those for you with the amounts, and they're on the back table if you want them. Virgil Adams will be here. I'm going to put this in right now. Virgil, many of you do not know, was a dean of men at Toccoa for many years, but he also was a missionary to Irian Jaya. That is now Papua. Phenomenal speaker. He will be here next Sunday. You won't want to miss him. I tell you, even our kids heard him at Power Time Camp a couple of years ago. They are so eager to hear him again. He relates to everyone very, very well, has marvelous stories of God's grace. The other thing, on the 20th, when we have our Thanksgiving meal, just to remind you, the Papuan students we took up money for, remember, so they could go home. They haven't been home in 2.5 years. They are coming to thank us and also to have that meal with us. So I wanted to encourage you about those as well. That's pretty much what the missions team does, just focuses on missions overseas and also those here.
Short to the point.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Gao. I'm the wife of Yue and the mother of Justin, Joshua, Joseph, and Joyce. Both my husband Yue and Daniel, they were serving downstairs, so I was sent here to deliver a report. First of all, as you may know, by God's grace and many prayers, and special thanks to Paul and Nancy, GCCBF, or Grace Campus, it's called Grace Campus Chinese Bible Fellowship, was launched last December. And we have the first Chinese service on this January. And please allow me now to give a big thank you to many of the guys here, especially the government authorities and Pastor Kevin and Miss Margaret and Miss Jennifer. You know, without you guys, and we cannot do this at all. You know, especially you give us so much grace to using the facilities here and the kitchen and the kids' care and so many things. You know, without you support, there's nothing can be done. So please allow me to give a big thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And please also note that there are a lot of Chinese brothers and sisters in the Lord to help us and to help to help us to carry on the ministry, especially many people like helping deliver the meal and also give a rights. There are just so many. The Lord just stirs up in people's heart to help with this ministry. And as you may know also that in recent years, by God's mercy and grace and His sovereign hand, He has sent so many Chinese overseas to study and to visit. For them, it could be just 1 or 2 years window for their lifetime to hear the true message of gospel. So next time, if you met some Chinese in this, especially in this community, in supermarket or in neighborhood, like probably 90% of them, their soul are in jeopardy eternally. So just think about that and bring them here, and so that maybe they will hear the gospel, the true saving message of Jesus Christ our Lord. So during the past years, we have basically we started 4 gatherings, including discovery class on Sunday morning, the Chinese one, and then followed by the Chinese service, Chinese worship service. We also have Friday night Bible study group, and as well as a prayer meeting with sometimes joined with FAC. So brothers and sisters, so I think we hope and we pray through all these ministries and gatherings, the word of the Lord will be honored, preached, and studied, and people's life can be touched by the word of the Lord, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that our lives, many of the Chinese here, around here, their lives will be changed and touched. So, and also last year, we also launched some special events to reaching out. We have like the New Year party events and the midterm festival welcome party. Those are specially designed to reaching out to the people who may, for their lifetime, may have never been to a church before, and to bring them here to help them to encounter this one more time with the true message of Jesus Christ. So we heard some research even said that every Chinese need to have like an encounter of the true gospel 100 times in their lifetime before they can even accept it. Well, I'm an exception. I heard of almost the first time I accepted, but that's not the case for many, many Chinese. So we have received a pretty good positive feedbacks for both of those events, and we do believe that those events have made an eternal impact on those people's lives. And I think looking forward, we definitely was going to continue to focus to put efforts on the various gatherings and pray that through the leading of the Holy Spirit, the words of the Lord will still be honored and preached. And also, Pastor David talked about the leadership. Well, I personally don't really like that term leadership because it's not found in the Bible, but I prefer the word like servanthood. So we pray, and looking forward, we pray that the true servanthood will be manifested in GCCBF. As Apostle Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians, that imitate me as I imitate Christ. So we pray that there will be true servants come up from GCCBF, and then there will be the gospel message will be carried out through more and more mature Christians. So after all, yeah, we are here not trying to run a secular organization as many groups are doing. We are here trying to building up the body of Christ, which the Lord has given his life for. So please join us in the prayer that in the coming years, God will really use GCCBF to bring the true light, hope, and the truth to many Chinese around this campus. Thank you.
Four of the ministries at First Alliance Church that are directed in an outward focus. We're looking out. We want to remember them, but we also want to remember all of the ministries of First Alliance Church that are outwardly directed. In other words, we're looking at people, looking for people who do not yet know Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, we thank you for your work. The Lord Jesus looked up, and we look up. The Lord Jesus looked in at those who are already a part of his body, and we look in. But the Lord Jesus also looked out to those who did not know him. In fact, he came for them. He said, I didn't come for the well. I've come for the sick. I've come for those who need to know the good news of salvation. And so, Lord God, we pray that you would bless every outwardly focused ministry at First Alliance Church. Help us, Lord God, to take the good news of the gospel. Help us to be faithful in conveying who you are and what you've come to this earth to do. And help us to remember that we once belonged to that group. We were once on the outside, and we didn't know anything, and we didn't have life, and we didn't have hope. And then someone did the wonderful work of sharing with us the good news about Jesus. And it's because of their commitment that we're gathered here today. Lord, we thank you for them, and we want to do what they did for us. We want to do that for others. Help us, Lord, to take the good news to everyone around us. And Lord, we want to take it all over the world. We want to carry out the work you've given us to do, to take the gospel to every man, woman, and child, in every culture, every country, every language, every ethnic group, everyone, everywhere. Lord God, that's our mission, that's our call, that's our desire, and that is our prayer now. Grant it, Lord. May it be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right.